Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
If you would open your Bibles to Proverbs, I want to go to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 18. Proverbs chapter number 18, and when you get there, just say amen. And this morning we began a series that may seem simple by the title, but it could be the most important message you've ever heard in your life, definitely the most life-changing that you will ever hear. Proverbs chapter 18, I want to begin in verse number 20. When you arrive there, say amen. As always, we want to welcome those that are watching live.wogm.com. Amen. Verse 20, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. In light of what we've read, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, and we do acknowledge him right now as our teacher and as our leadership into all truth. Father, I pray for all that would be under the sound of my voice at this precise moment, those here in this assembly, watching by television, live, podcast, media ministry, Lord, I ask that you would bless their hearing, that your people would receive revelation, knowledge, conviction, wisdom, and all spiritual understanding. Father, I ask now that you, Father, speak through me, that you give me the words that you would have spoken, that your spirit would speak by me, and that your word would be on my tongue, that you would make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that I might sketch on the hearts and minds of these your people your anointed word, removing their burdens and destroying their yokes forever. As we boldly declare that Satan is defeated, we are redeemed, and Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. No matter what avenue you are receiving this message today, I'm excited to deliver this word because this word is a conviction in my heart. The very first series I ever ministered at Word of God when we started this thing was called The Power of God's Word. We read before the prayer in the book of Proverbs chapter number 18, and I want to go back and just kind of touch on this for a minute. Verse 20 says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. The parallel that's being made here is eating, and I love to eat. Man, I saw that crawfish promo that came up on the screen. That kind of messed me up, man. I tell you what, I'm glad I'm the pastor. Because, you know, I don't know if that 18 to 30, you know, well, I'm 22. Yeah, I can be here. But anyway, I love to eat. And I like to eat. I love it that God says, when thou hast eaten and art full. But when I eat, I want to get full. And the analogy here is that a man's belly is satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. So the picture is a man eating with his mouth and his belly's filled with what he's put in his mouth. But the reality of what he's saying is that a man's belly, his inner being, his life, is going to be filled with what he says, that we will eat the fruit of what we say. That's the picture that he's driving home here. Then in verse 21, he says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So if you love to talk, and if you love to, you know, flap your jaws, get ready to enjoy the fruit of whatever it is that you say. Now, I want to go over to the book of James. If you would, let's go to the third chapter. And let me kind of set this up for you as you turn to the book of James. And I want to go to the third chapter. So just turn over there while I kind of set this up. Proverbs 18 and 20 and 21 make it clear that our lives are going to be filled with what we say, all right? That death and life are in the power of our tongue, and we will eat the fruit of our words. Okay? So now, with that being said, you know, we go to James 3, and James 3 is going to tell us that the tongue can no man tame. And so you put those together, that death and life is in the power of the tongue. God says you will eat the fruit of what you say. And we say all these things, you know, and half of them we say we don't mean. Some of them we say out of emotion. Some things we've said we wish we could get back. Amen. I spoke to our chapel Wednesday over at the academy. We have two chapels, one for the elementary, one for the middle and high group. So I'm speaking to the elementary group, and I was thinking about, I was teaching them about words, and I gave them the picture of toothpaste. That once you squeeze toothpaste out of that tube, you can't get it back in there. And so I was telling them their mouth is like that tube of toothpaste. If you, know when you squeeze it out, it's hard to get it back in. And married folk know good and well what I'm saying. You wish you could get some of that toothpaste back in that tube sometimes. Because we bring so much trouble into our lives and in our relationships by the words that we use that may have been spoken out of anger or emotion that weren't true to the conviction that was in our heart. So you hear in James 3 that, and we're going to show it to you. When you get over there, just say amen, that this tongue can no man tame. If you would, let me show that to you by dropping down to verse number 6. James 3, verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, or the parts of our body, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and birds and serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. If you've ever been to SeaWorld, that'll blow your mind. We were at SeaWorld with the kids one time, and they said, everybody raise your right hand. The audience raised their right hand. And darn if that whale didn't come up out the water and raise its right fin. Then they told everybody in the audience to raise their left hand. We raised our left hand, and the whale turned over, and he raised his left fin up. Like, hey, y'all. And I was like, man, I can't even get my dog to sit. And they got this whale waving right hand, right foot, left foot. And so he says, if everything that, you know, has been tamed of man, tamed of mankind, verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. The tongue, the Bible says, can no man tame. So if you put that with, and stay there in James, we're not through, but if you take that and then you read Proverbs 18, 20, and 21, death and life is in the power of the tongue. You'll eat the fruit of what you say. And then you read that no man can tame the tongue. It's kind of like bad news. It's like, okay, well, I'm that lost cause here. You know, if I can't tame my tongue, but yet my tongue has the power of life and death in it, then what am I going to do? And I want to address that first of all in this message. But let me set this up for you. In doing street ministry since I was 17 years old and just out leading people to Jesus, there's one thing I've heard from many people, and it's a very popular verse, maybe even more popular than John 3:16. It's Romans chapter 3, where the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory. And I've had folk say to me, don't judge me for my cigarette. All have sinned. Don't judge me for popping this 40 ounce. All have sinned. Don't judge me for scratching my lottery ticket. All have sinned. Don't judge me for all this foul language coming out of my mouth. All have sinned. Don't judge me for not being in church or ever reading my Bible. After all have sinned. And sadly, that verse, all have sinned, has become the excuse for many to do the very thing, sin. Don't judge me, all have sinned. Who are you to judge me? All have sinned. When that verse was not written there to justify or condone sinning, it was written to prove that we're all the same, if you read it in its context, that the same gospel saves whites, blacks, Hispanics, Asians, Jews, Greeks, because we've all sinned. Jesus died for sinners, therefore everybody can be saved. The verse wasn't written to say, go sin, since everybody's doing it. just like that verse is used by many to condone an act of sin because all have sinned, I believe there's this idea that you can't tame your tongue, so why try? So what we do instead is just say whatever we want to say and then come back behind it. Well, God knows I didn't mean it. God knows my heart. That wasn't real. I was just joking. I wasn't serious. And so we don't put any severity in the words that we're using. Now, I'm not saying that we've been, perfect with our words. I'm saying we've been imperfect with our words. We have sinned with our mouths. Can everybody agree that we have sinned at least once with our mouths? All married folks should say amen, because I know good and well you have sinned with your mouth. So let's just be real. If you've ever sinned with your mouth, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, then we fit everybody. So what do we do when we read in the Word where God says the tongue can no man tame, that it's set on fire of hell? What do we do with that when we read Proverbs 18 that says death and life is in the power of the tongue? What do we do with that when we read down to verse 10? Look down to verse 10 in James 3. And it says, out of the same mouth proceedeth what? Blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. What do we do with that? God's word is saying life is in your tongue. Death is in your tongue. Blessing is in your tongue. Cursing is in your tongue. And whatever you speak, you choose. That is your choice, what you say. But yet we read right in the heart of that, that the tongue can no man tame. What are we to do? Let me establish this. When you look at life and death and blessing and cursing being in the mouth, being in the power of the tongue, being under the authority of the tongue, we need to understand what it means to curse. Down in the South, we call that cuss. Matter of fact, we spell it C-U-S-S. And if somebody messes with us, then we tell others that we C-U-S-S-E-D them out. And when I was a child and I heard don't cuss, I thought cussing meant you used an ugly word. Even our kids, we say don't use bathroom words. At least we do. I don't know if y'all use that or not, but we try to raise a kid like, don't use that word. Let's don't. That's a bathroom word. We'll say that, somewhere else. But we train our children. Remember back when moms and grandmothers used to wash the mouths of their children out with soap? Big old bar of Ivory soap. Come on, somebody. Say, Pastor, you went through that? No, but I heard about it. But man, can you imagine that? Come on, wash your mouth out with that foul language. Hear me. There's a difference between foul language and cursing. In other words, you can curse and never use a bad word. Let me give you some examples. These are examples. God knows I'm teaching, so I'm not speaking this on me. All right, this head is killing me. This job is going to be the life of me. We'll never make it. I don't know how we'll ever get out of debt. I'll never talk to her again. Hope she loses her job. Think she's something with that car. I hope it get repossessed. You can't do that. You'll never be able to graduate. You think you're going to succeed? You'll never build that house. You're never going to get out of this neighborhood. Those are curse words. Curse words. Because they speak evil. They speak negativity. They say you're not going to succeed, you're not going to prosper. Those are curse words. And we have cursed our lives. Many of us have cursed our lives, all of our lives. And if we haven't cursed our lives, we've cursed somebody else's life. But listen, death and life And blessing and cursing is in the power of what you say. That's the way God created us. Do you know that when God created the heaven and the earth, when he stepped out on creation dawn in Genesis 1, if you read the record of creation, verse 3, God said, let there be light. Verse 6, God said. Verse 9, God said. Verse 11, God said. Last verse of the chapter, God saw. What did God see? He saw what he said. But when he made man on the sixth day, the last creative day, the seventh day he rested, there was no creation. So the last creative day was the sixth day when he made man, but he did not make man with words. He made man with his hands. He formed man out of the dust of the ground, and then Ruach breathed into this living, form of dust. He breathed into it the breath of life, and man became aware, awake, alive in God. But God did not create man with his words. Everything else God created with his words. Let there be. Let there be, let there be, let there be. God saw darkness and said light. We see darkness and say, my God, it's dark. God was teaching us from the beginning that you don't have to say what you see. But there's power in what you say. You don't have to line your mouth up with what you see. Hallelujah. And so God created everything with the power of his word, but when he made man with his hands. He breathed life into that man and then gave that man his word. He gave that man his word. The first act of responsibility, y'all listening? The first act of responsibility that God gave man was to name everything God had created. He said, "You now let me bring everything I've created in front of you, and I want you to name it. And whatever you name it, that's what it's going to be." And you know Adam had the wisdom of God, because a squirrel looks just like a squirrel, and a grasshopper looks just like a grasshopper, and a turtle I could never mistake for a rabbit, and a kangaroo don't look nothing like no horse. I'm telling you that Adam had the wisdom of God when he named all these animals. And when you give something a name, you give it a name so that it will respond to you. When Adam named the creation, he named it so that it will respond. When you're pregnant with child, Christian and I have had four, you think about names, 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 names. You go down the pound to pick up a dog. What are we going to name it? You go to adopt a puppy. What are we going to name the puppy? Why do you give a little dog a name like Emma? Why? Because you want Emma to respond. Pastor Jeremiah and Carrie had this amazing dog named Emma, the sweetest little personality dog you ever seen. Emma's just sweet. Why do you give your dog a name? So that it will respond to you. Why? So that it'll be sensitive to the words that are connected to that person or thing. So God did not make man with words, but he immediately showed man the importance of words. And so did Satan, because he came to Eve and his first message to Eve was, hath God said? Getting her to question what she had heard from Adam that he had heard from God. God connected himself with Adam through his words. And then Adam, when Eve was given, he gave Eve the same word that he got from God. And that's what Satan came in there with. Hath God said? He knows that the power of words, we were created in the image of God. And God creates with his words. Since we are created in the image of God, we create with our words. Oh, Pastor, that's hyper. That's crazy. You telling me I create with my words? You create with your words. You are likely walking in the harvest today of things that you have said in the past. If you don't want to harvest it, you stop sowing it. If you don't want to see it, you stop saying it. There is power in your words. Power in what we say. We've got to get serious about our words. Now I want to do this, because we read here in James 3 that this tongue can no man tame. But yet, listen to what the Bible says. If you would, turn back over to the book of, I need to finish this verse here. Let's finish James 3. And I want to go down to verse number 12. He says, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So what he's saying is, look, the tree's going to be good, the fruit's going to be good. And he's saying that in light of words, in light of what it is that we say. If you're good, speak good. If you're evil, you're going to speak evil. But what do we do with this statement, the tongue can no man tame? That's in verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. Have you ever felt like that verse has been true for you, that your tongue was not tamed? Listen to me. There's hope. Hallelujah. Man, there's hope. There's hope for me. And I got a big mouth. There's hope. Hallelujah. There is hope. Everybody know a preacher preaches and he just talks, but there's hope for me in my mouth. Glory to God. I was getting ready to go to chapel Wednesday to preach to our students about this. And I'm telling on myself, but our kids over at the academy are so intelligent and witty. I didn't want to read verse 8. You say, Pastor, you didn't want to read the scriptures to the children? Nope. I did not want to read verse 8 because I was worried if they saw verse 8 that they would say, look, Pastor James, the tongue can no man tame. I can't help it. And so I literally Wednesday morning prayed and I said, Lord, you've got to show me the answer to this because there it is, bigger than day, the tongue can no man tame. And I'm getting ready to start this series that I actually started at the academy Wednesday. How am I going to tell these people they got to tame their mouth when it's bold right there? The tongue can no man tame. And the Holy Spirit gave me this. Man may not be able to tame the tongue, but the Holy Spirit can. The Holy Spirit can. God can tame your tongue. And so I thought about 2nd, you write these down because I got a lot to share, so I'm going to give you the verse and you write it down. But in 2 Samuel 23 verse 2, 2 Samuel 23 verse 2, I never approach the pulpit or a platform to speak in the lives of people that I don't claim 2 Samuel 23 2. It says this, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me and his word was on my tongue. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was on my tongue. What does that mean? That means the Holy Spirit can speak through you, and his words be on your tongue. Do you remember Moses when he was called of God? And Moses came in there, and the Lord said, Moses, Moses. All right? And Moses comes before God with fear and trembling, and God tells Moses, take your shoes off your feet. The ground you're standing on is holy ground. Y'all seen the movie? Okay, y'all read the scriptures, whatever. So Moses is standing before God, and God says, okay, Moses, I'm sending you into Egypt where you ran out of fear. I'm sending you back to Egypt, and you're going to go talk to Pharaoh for me. And I need you to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Pharaoh, let my people go. Okay, y'all didn't fall in there. We'll edit that for television. And so Moses is like, wait a minute, God, there's something you need to know about me that you don't know yet. So Moses tells God in Exodus chapter 4, you put that in your notes, in Exodus chapter 4, Moses tells God, he says, God, I've got a slow tongue. I've got a slow tongue. I don't talk very well. I don't talk well at all. And God came back to Moses in Exodus chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, and he said this to Moses. He said, Moses, I made man's tongue. I made your tongue. And since I made it, I can speak through it, and I'm paraphrasing. But he made it very clear to Moses that he didn't care that Moses' tongue was slow. God had the power to speak through Moses. Hallelujah. So there's another example that God can tame our tongue. I'll give you another one. Let's turn over and look at this one. Go to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter number 13. Matthew, Mark, the 13th chapter. So we've got records in Scripture. Psalm 45 verse 1 says that God will make our tongue the pen of a ready writer. If you're familiar with this ministry, you hear me pray that every time I pray to preach. Father, make my tongue the pen of a ready writer. Proverbs 3 verse 3 says that our heart is a tablet. So I pray and ask God to make my tongue a pen so I can write on the tablets the hearts of God's people. I'm saying, Lord, speak to me. Make my tongue your ink pen. Write, Lord, write, Holy Spirit. Override my thoughts. Override what I've read. Override what I've studied, premeditated, and make my tongue your pen. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 13, you get there, say amen. Now look at it with me in verse number 11. Mark 13, verse 11. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak. Neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, help me read it, but the Holy Ghost. What's he saying? He said, look, when you're being tempted, when you're being tested, when you're being tried, when you're being delivered for the sake of the gospel, he said, you don't even need to premeditate on what you're going to say. You don't need to work it all out. You need to trust that my Holy Spirit will give you the words you need when you need them. Listen, imagine how much more effective we would be when we're having a conversation with someone, when we're counseling someone, when we're getting ready to have a serious conversation, if we would just stop and say, Holy Spirit, I'm inviting you to override my thoughts and fulfill your will. Will you speak through me today, Holy Spirit? I acknowledge that I am bad about sinning with my mouth. So I need you to tame my tongue because there's not a man that's ever been able to do it. So I acknowledge, Holy Spirit, that you're the only one that can tame my tongue. Please tame my tongue and give me the words by your Spirit that I am to speak as I go into this whatever. Imagine what our lives would look like if we're asking God to tame our mouths before we speak. You can't tame your tongue. I can't tame my tongue. And you know what? I'm eating the fruit of things I've said in my life. Today, I'm eating the fruit of things I've said in my life. Some good, some bad. A lot good, some still bad. And I hate it that I'm eating the fruit of things that I've said. You know what? I can't go back into yesterday and withdraw things I've said. But I can come back today and bind those words and speak new words of life and ask the Holy Spirit, tame my tongue because I've been unsuccessful. But the first thing is to acknowledge that we sin with our tongue. And we need help. Turn back with me to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Have you ever come into worship in a congregation of people of believers, and you're worshiping God in spirit and in truth, and in his presence, you start to feel conviction about a mindset, an attitude, or an action that you committed maybe that week or that month or that year in your past? You feel this conviction in God's presence that there's something you should change, and you felt it because you were in God's presence. Has that ever happened to anybody? Say amen. Amen. Okay. Because when you're in God's presence, sin is going to be exposed. Sometimes being in the presence of people that have their lives together kind of shows us where we're at. Now, we're not supposed to be comparing ourselves to other people, but you know, you can get around somebody and realize, man, I got to get my stuff together. They're showing me up, right? So I want you to imagine right now, that today, well, it's not necessarily the best thing to imagine, but you're going to live through it, but you're going to be before God. In other words, you ain't got to die to do it. I don't want nobody to imagine that they're dead today and before God. But I want you to imagine that you're going before God, okay? You're before the presence of God, and I want you to think about all the things that you might be convicted by. When I get into worship and I get in the presence of God, you know, and I'm emotional, I'm crying, I'm praising Him, I'm thanking Him, I start getting convicted about me. You know, and I'll have to lay me down. I love that song today, lay me down. I was praying that, Lord, lay me down. You can have me. And matter of fact, today I called my whole name out in worship to God. I used my full name. Y'all don't even know what the A stands for. Since I got saved, it stands for A Believer. But James A Believer McManus, I called the name my mama gave me, a whole name, middle name, nickname, every name. I called that whole name out in worship today. And I said, God, I give you me. And I used my full name. I lay me down. I don't know what to do with me, Jesus, except to give me to you. So that's where I was at today in worship. When you get in the presence of God, there's a surrender. But I want you to see what happened to Isaiah. Because before grace entered our life, before we understood saved by grace, before we got a revelation of saved by grace, most of us had a performance mindset. I'll die and go to heaven because I'm a pretty good boy. I ain't never killed nobody. Try not to lie. Pay my bills. Faithful to my wife. I think I'll make it in. Right? We have this good old boy mindset of what's going to take to get to heaven, what it's not. And I wonder how many of us ever really thought about that our eternal life could actually be based on what we've said. Whoa. And I'm going to prove that in Scripture here in a minute. So let's look at Isaiah, who gets transported before the presence of God in Isaiah 6. If you're there, say amen. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain or two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And the other two, he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. That's one of the first things that we know about God is that he is holy. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, now here he's looking at God. He's in God's presence. He's in the presence of a holy, holy, holy God. And what does Isaiah first notice about himself? Watch verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. What's wrong with you, Isaiah? Because I am a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So what's the first thing Isaiah noticed about himself when he came before God? Oh my, the word. He was convicted by what he had been saying. Have we ever thought about that? That when you see God, the first thing that you might be convicted about would be what you've been saying? You know, listen, God has wrapped himself up in his word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. God delivered himself through us, through the form of his word. John 1:14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. God has been reaching out to man since man sinned with his words. And there is nothing more powerful in the earth than words, than words. Think about Adam in sin, hiding from God. And God speaks and says, Adam, where art thou? Those words communicated, first words ever spoken to man after man's sin was, where are you? Where are you? I'm looking for you. I'm seeking you. I want you. I miss you. We used to walk together. We used to be together. But to a fallen man that had sinned, God's words were, Adam, where art thou? The words weren't, I told you not to do that. The words were not, oh, look at you now. Where did that get you? The words were not, well, good for you. You shouldn't have done what I told you not to do. No, the words were, where art thou? God's first message to man after he sinned was, I want you. I seek you. I need you. I love you. I want you. Adam, where art thou? Those words penetrate all of eternity, and they communicated a God that has a love and a desire for his people. We say things like, I found the Lord. No, you didn't. He wasn't lost. He found you. We were the ones that were lost. But those first words of God communicated, man, I want you. Sinner, I want you. Fallen man, I want to save you. Adam, where art thou? Elijah hid off in a cave because Jezebel threatened to take his life. And God came into that cave after showing Abraham an earthquake. And then he showed Abraham all these great natural manifestations. And he came to Elijah, noticing that God was not in the earthquake. He wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in anything. And then God came to Elijah and he said, Elijah, what doest thou here? What are you doing in this cave thinking about committing suicide? What are you doing in this cave afraid of this woman? What are you doing here, Elijah? I've got a plan for you. And what does Elijah say? Oh, Lord, they've all surrendered to Baal. There's no use. And God said, oh, no, I got plenty that hadn't bowed their knee. You come up out of this cave. God's words always bring affirmation. God's words always bring life. God's words always say, I love you. I want you. Come back. I need you. That's what God has done to communicate to man through the avenue of his word. There is nothing more sacred than words. Had you never heard that Jesus died for you, you could not be saved. Had we never heard that we had sinned and what he did for our sin, we would not know salvation. God delivered salvation through the form of his word. Romans 10:14. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? We can't even call on the Lord for salvation until we know that he's willing to save. And how do we know that? Through the avenue of his words. There's nothing more anointed, nothing more powerful in the earth realm than words. Words penetrate the spirit, they penetrate the soul, and they penetrate the body. Your own body can get chills and response. Your flesh crawls when you hear a word in season. Our bodies respond to word. Psalm 107 and 20 says he sends his word to heal us. Proverbs 4 says his word is health to our flesh. Ephesians 4 says his word will pierce your spirit, soul, and body. Words affect all three realms, all three of our parts of our makeup: physical, spiritual, mental. Words are sacred and they are powerful. Therefore, when Isaiah stands before God, the first thing that he's aware of, oh, my words. My words. And what does God do? He sends an angel to take a hot coal out of the altar, if you read on. And he touches Isaiah's lips with that coal and purges Isaiah's mouth. And after having purged Isaiah's mouth spiritually with that coal, imagine barbecuing out back and taking a coal out of your barbecue pit and sticking it in your mouth. Isaiah, the coal off of God's altar touched his lips. And then God said, I need somebody to go speak for me. And then Isaiah, after having been touched by that fire, said, Lord, send me. Now how did he go from, oh, I'm undone. Oh, I'm undone. Oh, what am I doing here in front of God? I'm undone. I'm undone. My lips are bad. My lips are bad. I can't tame my tongue. I'm defective. How did he go from being that man to being a man that says to God, you want to send somebody? Send me. How did he do that? Because the Spirit of God purged his mouth with that coal. I'm telling you that God can change our mouth. God can change our mouth by his Spirit so that we're bearing life and power and blessing out of our mouth. Instead of death, corruption, and cursing. Hallelujah. We've underestimated the power of our words. We've underestimated the power of the mouth. We said things without thinking about what we were saying. We've said things thinking they'd have no consequence. We didn't pause. We didn't think about what we were saying before we ever said it. We've got to begin to recognize that these words are powerful. These words we speak are important and they are vital. And we've got to become sensitive to everything that we say. The Bible says a righteous man, he studies before he answers. He thinks before he speaks. We live in a world that doesn't know anything about that. We live in a world that is corrupt and perverted and twisted in everything that it says. Not only in how people talk, but the things they post on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, filled with just vile and perversion and garbage. You can't even watch an NBA game or a football game when they bring the cameras close. As I've heard Pastor Earl say many times, you can read their lips and just see the foul language that's just spewing out of their mouth. That's the world that we live in. But I'm telling you, this age of corruption and perversion and death is longing for a people that know the power of words. Words that will stand up and speak truth in love. Words tamed by the Spirit of God that arrest the attention of man. That's why I don't tell anybody have a good day. I say have a blessed day. Because there's power when I say that. That's why I don't tell folk, oh, you got lucky with that one. I don't believe in luck. I believe you were blessed. My words are powerful. My words define me and they represent my God. A God that saw darkness but spoke light. A God that saw fallen man and spoke to draw him to himself. A God that spoke to the serpent and warned him of a Savior that would trample his feet. A God that spoke to the woman that had sinned and promised the Savior from her womb. A God that spoke to Noah before there was a flood and saved a generation. A God that spoke to Abraham and promised a nation. A God that spoke to Moses and saved that nation. A God that spoke to Samuel as a little boy that didn't even know God was speaking. He gets up and he goes to Eli and he said, I'm here. Did you call my name? He said, no, son, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And he goes and lays back down and he hears his name called again and he runs back in. He said, did you call my name? He said, son, I've not called your name. Go back to bed. He goes back to bed and he comes back. He said, I know you're calling my name. He said, oh, wait a minute, boy. You hearing somebody call your name? It ain't me again. It can't be nobody but Jesus. And immediately we knew that this young boy was going to be a prophet. Why? Because God had connected to him through the avenue of his word. Everybody that we think about, everybody that we've read about, the people that we've learned about in Sunday school, the hall of faith in Hebrews 11 is filled with men and women of God that were connected to God by his word, that heard the word of God and it changed their life. And then they in turn change other lives by the words of their mouth. Words. Words. Words that God spoke to Esther that saved a nation. Words that God spoke to Elijah when he called fire down from heaven. Words that God spoke to Elisha when fiery chariots manifested around his enemies. Words that he spoke to David's son Solomon when he filled Proverbs with his wisdom. Words that he spoke to Isaiah that foretold of the crucifixion. Words that he spoke to Daniel that spoke of the rise and fall of four kingdoms before they ever happened. Words that he spoke to Zechariah when he prophesied how much money Jesus would be betrayed for. Words that he spoke to Malachi when he identified that there was a Savior coming with healing in his wings. Words, things we've read about. It's the power of God's word. He spoke to animals and they jumped on a boat. He spoke to a lamb and it entangled itself in a thorn bush. He spoke to a whale and it not only swallowed but spit out Jonah. He spoke to a donkey. The Bible calls it an ass and it spoke. Yes. He spoke to lions and they became Daniel's pillow. He spoke to a rooster and it communicated to Peter. He spoke to darkness and light appeared. He spoke to the sun and the earth stood still. He spoke to fish and they filled Peter's nets. He spoke to the wind and it ceased. He spoke to the water and Peter walked on it. He spoke to water again and it became wine. He spoke to bread and fish and they multiplied. He spoke a curse to a tree and it died. He spoke to the heavens and they parted. He spoke to sinners and they were forgiven. He spoke to ignorant men and they became wise. He spoke to the demon-possessed and they were freed. He spoke to the sick and they were healed. He spoke to a woman and she was loosed. He spoke to the lame and they walked. Spoke to the blind and they saw. Spoke to the deaf and they heard. He spoke to the condemned and they became justified. He spoke to the dead and they got up. Words, words, words. Lazarus, come forth. Thy sins are forgiven. Be made whole. Rise up and walk. Words. Words that bring faith and healing. He said this to us. He said, speak to the mountain and it will move. Speak to the tree, the sycamine tree, and it will uproot. Speak to the sycamine tree and it will uproot. Let me ask you a question. You sick of yours? Because I'm sick of mine. Whatever you sick of, start speaking to it. Don't put up with what you're sick of. Speak to the thing that you're sick of. My God, talk, talk, talk. Use your words. If there's a mountain in your way, move it with your words. No, we sit around and talk about how sick we are of whatever it is we're sick of. We walk around talking about the mountain, how it's so big we don't know how we're ever going to cross. Then we write a song about climbing up the rough side of the mountain. And then we sing about it. Words. 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 They touch heaven. They change earth. They were touched of earth by heaven. Words. He said, speak my word and angels will move. Speak my word and it will not return unto me void. He said, speak your vision and it will come to pass. Check these words out. Call out on the name of Jesus and you shall be saved. Words. Words.
Words that bring salvation. Words that bring forgiveness. Words that bring restoration. Words that bring healing. Words that bring deliverance. Words he's called you and I to speak. Hallelujah. Words. In the Bible, they're compared to milk, honey, butter, bread, meat. I like them because those are all things we eat. So I like the idea of the bread, put a little butter on it, glass of milk, eat some meat, honey. His words are compared to that, but they're also compared to swords, a hammer, iniquity, sin, and rocks. The word is compared to rain, water, dew, fire, and snow. The word's compared to breath. It's also compared to wounds, silver, sin, iniquity, and seed. If you don't want to walk in the harvest of it, then you don't sow it. So you're not going to wake up and say, I don't know how I'm going to make it today. That's not your choice. You're going to wake up and not even say it's going to be a good day, because that ain't good enough. You're going to wake up and say, this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. You're not going to speak words about, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't see how I'm going to get through this. No, that's a lie. You're going to get up and say, I'm more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You're not a victim. You're a victor. But you've got to choose your victory by the things that you say. Words. Words, words, death and life, blessing and cursing, rest in the power of our words. Last scripture I want you to read is Psalms 19. Turn over there. Psalms 19. May we today have a conviction about what we say. Our mama used to say, watch your mouth. We need that sensitivity and conviction to return. Look at your neighbor and say, watch your mouth. I know you're going to Psalms 19, but let me say this. Psalms 39 and 1 says, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Psalm 141:3 says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth and keep the door of my lips. Proverbs 6:16-19 says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren. Proverbs 26:18-19 says, as a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport? What does that mean, am not I in sport? That's the King James Version. Other versions say it like this, I was just joking. We've gotten away with saying anything we wanted to say, thinking we could trump it with, I'm just joking. I'm not saying you can't tell a joke. I'm not saying that you can't have fun. But you know when you're saying something under radar and then covering it up with a joke. The thing is, the realm of the spirit doesn't know the difference. Death and life and blessing and cursing don't know the difference. Proverbs 21:23 says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Amen to that. Proverbs 10:19 says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. In other words, you're not going to have no problem dealing with sin if you talk a lot. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. Scripture is telling us to tame our tongue by the Spirit of God. Psalms 19, if you're there, say amen. Watch verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, and we'll be talking about this later in this series, because Jesus tells us out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That doesn't mean that everything you say is what's in abundance in your heart, because you can talk out of anger, you can talk out of emotion, you can talk out of hurt. But ultimately, there's going to become a pattern in your life of confessing what's in abundance in your heart. You'll never change your words till you change your heart. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. See, if you meditate on something and think on something long enough, we're going to know what you're thinking and meditating by what's coming out of your mouth. There's something about the person who has this meditation going on. You're going to know it by what they're saying. But notice, David's prayer here is, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength. Why did he say my strength? Because he's going to need God's strength for his mouth and his meditation to be right. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, as I close, listen to me very carefully. Jesus taught in Matthew 12 that by our words we would be justified and by our words we would be condemned. We've got to make a choice. If you say, well, I don't believe in all that Bible stuff, I don't believe in Jesus, you've just signed your death certificate with your words. Amen. Unless you come back later and catch those words and speak words of life, you can damn your soul to eternity by the words of your mouth. Words affect not only this life, but they affect the one to come. If you don't believe me, read Matthew 12. We might pick that up next week. But I believe every one of us today need to get before God right now. And we need to ask the Lord to touch our tongue, to touch our mouths with his coal. I don't think there's a one of us that has not sinned with our mouth. But the good news is there's forgiveness at the cross. And we can move forward today and say, you know what? I'm not going to be that person anymore. There are some people that are very hurtful and painful with their words. Maybe you have been very negative in your speech and you speak doubt, fear, anxiety, and worry. It's time today to harness the power of positive confession and not let this just go under radar anymore. It's serious with God. It's serious for you. Let me pray with you this morning, every head bowed. Father, in the name of Jesus, first of all, we ask forgiveness for the sins that we've committed with our mouths. Words we've spoken that have hurt other people. Words we've spoken, verbally abusive to those we love, our spouses, our children, our parents. Words that we've crafted in an evil heart only to bring pain. We ask forgiveness. We don't just say, I'm sorry. We ask forgiveness. And Holy Spirit, I pray that we would not only receive your forgiveness, but that we would go to those that we've hurt with our words and ask for forgiveness. God, I pray for parents that's hurt their children with words that were cursed. I pray for men and women that have been scarred and hurt by words that they've heard spoken into their life, even as children, that they would never be anything, that no one would ever love them. God, I pray that if there have been words of death and cursing planted in any of our hearts that we've received, it's changed our attitude and it's changed our confidence. Or we feel unloved because we had a mom or a dad that was just verbally abusive, or in a marriage of verbal abuse. I pray for believers here today that are broken through that. And I thank you that your words bring life and blessing. God, I pray that you give us a sensitivity with what we say to others. I pray that you give us a sensitivity about what we speak over our own life. I lift up marriages here today, God, that are broken because of words. That are damaged because of words. Words spoken out of anger. A loss of temper. I pray for healing. Husbands, I want you to listen to me for a minute. I'm a husband. I'm speaking this to myself. I'm speaking it to you. So if you're a husband, I want you to lift your head up and just look at me for a minute. If you're a husband, I'm talking to you. Ephesians 5:25 says that Jesus washes his church with his word. That he washes his church with his word. We need to make a decision as husbands that we're going to start washing our wives with our words. That tells me that the enemy contaminates our wives. That the enemy plants lies in the minds of our wives. And this world plants its culture and thoughts into the minds of our wives. But God says, husbands, through the picture of Jesus, wash your wife with my word. Speak right words over your wives. We've got to have a conviction about what we're saying. How many marriages ended because the tongue never got tamed in that house? How many little boys and girls grew up looking for love in other places, ended up on the streets or in prison right now, or worse, dead, because all their life, all they ever got was hollered at? How many of you here today have been affected by what's been spoken to you? I believe that God wants to heal right now. In his presence. Lord God, in your presence, touch our tongues with the coal from your altar. And purge the sin of our mouths. Holy Spirit, tame our tongue. We failed at it. Tame our tongue.
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.